And good morning, and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time of worship together. Here we are at the first Sunday after Christmas. It's always tough for a pastor to think about what it is we want to talk about on the Sunday after Christmas. We have so many activities during the Christmas season. We're inspired by the activity and the camaraderie and all of the decorations and the Christmas tree and the lights and the candles. All of that makes for a wonderful, beautiful Christmas season. But then when it's over, we're faced with what for many is a letdown, a time when we feel depressed because, alas, the Christmas season is over. And so I thought this morning we would have a message about the love of Christ, because that's the whole reason for Christmas, isn't it? That Christ came to show us His love. It was by His love that He came. And so this morning I have entitled my message, The Love of Christ. And then we will hear the beautiful music sung by both Ellen and Alan Vest this morning as they perform The Bleak Midwinter, that great Christmas hymn. So as we prepare now to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow humbly before you on this first Sunday after Christmas. Help us, Lord, to always remember that really Christmas is every day. For many of us, it's a time when indeed we invite Christ into our hearts each and every day. And we hope that we are faithful in the way that we live by His example. And so, Lord, we pray that you will be with us today. Inspire us with your Spirit. Open our hearts and our minds. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. My scripture passage for this morning is a short passage, and it does not come from the traditional Christmas story that we would find in the Gospel accounts. This particular passage comes from the book of Revelation, and it's a passage that I think very well helps us to understand what it is that we are about in this season now following Christmas. Be reminded that the book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. So hear now from Revelation 1, verses 4 through 6. From John to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Well, it has been said that the supreme test of religion is in the revelation of God that it brings. Having disclosed God, can we know Him? Is it possible to have communion with God, to have fellowship with God? Yes, these are questions that we ask ourselves even during this time when we are entering a new year on this Sunday following Christmas. Can we know God? Is it possible to have communion with Him, to have fellowship with Him? Well, as Christians, it is our belief that Jesus of Nazareth fully disclosed God, who He is and what He is and what motivates Him. That disclosure reveals itself in love. And further, we believe that this loving God has a desire to have fellowship with you and me. He not only wants to know us, but He wants us to know Him. Well, here on the Sunday after Christmas, we find a comforting word in the book of Revelation, a vision that was given to the beloved disciple, John. Scholars tell us that John was probably in his 90s when he wrote Revelation, when he received this revelation from God. He was the only member of the disciple band who would die a natural death. The others were martyred, according to history and legend. But John himself was now forced into exile. He was forced to live in a penal colony on the island of Patmos. He had to leave home, and he found himself there on Patmos because there was a raging persecution back on the mainland of Asia Minor. The Roman emperors had decreed that it was to be the policy of the state to eradicate and to destroy the Christian movement. And so this aging follower of Jesus Christ, a powerful symbol to his generation because he had walked and talked with Jesus, he wrote back to his friends and to his fellow Christians on the mainland. He told them all that Christ had meant to him and all the things that he had experienced and was experiencing of Christ. And as he began to put down what Christ had meant to him, the words gushed from his heart like an anthem of joy. And so he wrote, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now the phrase that leaps out at us is "unto him that loved us." And that's what Christmas is about. It is about love. The love of God that we are to exemplify in our relationships with one another. It was love that made Christmas. It was love that brought Christ to us. And I want us to remember three things about the love of Jesus Christ as we now enter into a new year. First, remember that the love of Christ never ends. It's eternal. He never lets us off, but He never lets us go. And when I say He never lets us off, it means that indeed we do have certain responsibilities as followers of Jesus. Yes, this babe of Bethlehem has some pretty stringent requirements in his love. Thomas Carlyle wrote, "No quiet child, whose gentle cradle sways promises of peaceful dreams for all who love him. No, he rocks the stable. He scatters the proud. He helps the lowly rise. His sword cuts through the deceitful. His cry unsettles the victimizers. No quiet child. And as the prophet Isaiah put it, he will rule with justice and with righteousness. And so, while Christ's love never ends, yes, friends, we need to remember that it never lets us off. One of the most touching stories concerning the former Pope, John the 23rd, is about the day after Christmas many years ago when he visited one of the worst prisons in Rome. It was the first time in 90 years that a Pope had gone to a prison, and in greeting the prisoners, the Pope said to them, "You could not come to me, so I have come to you." And that is the spirit of Christ's love. He came to us. He came to rescue us because he loved us, and his love never ends. It's important for us to realize that whatever comes in life, however hurt we may be, however lonely our lives might become, that in this world of the transient and the temporary, Christ's love is for keeps. It is forever. He came because he loved us. He still loves us, and his love is forever. That's important because human love is not always trustworthy. It quite frequently fails us. It falters and sometimes forsakes. We need to remember that painful reality when the storms of disappointment sweep over us. We need to remember that the love of Christ is with us when dreams are broken and promises are made but not kept. God is keeping watch over his own. But also there's a second thing that we need to remember, and that is his love is always personal. His love is forever, yes, but it's also personal. While the love of Christ is for the world, it's also for you and for me on a personal level. And isn't that a comforting thought? Every person all over the world today can say with assurance, God loves me. I am reminded of the story of the great theologian of the 20th century, Karl Barth, who taught at the University of Basel in Switzerland. Karl Barth was invited to deliver one of the distinguished lectures at a seminary here in the United States. And while he was here, a group of ministers and theologians and dignitaries of one kind or another sat down with him in a kind of question and answer time. And someone asked this great theologian, this professor who taught theology at the highest level, this intellectual, this man of great learning who was admired by scholars throughout the world, they ask a question. What is the most profound thing you have come to understand about God, Dr. Barth? And this is what he said. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus' love is very personal, and his love for you personally is stronger than anything that can ever happen to us. It's stronger than our sin. It's stronger than our sorrow. It's mightier than death. Indeed, we can say that the love of Christ undergirds all of life. And thirdly, his love completely frees us. Our text says that he freed us from our sins. And indeed, that's true. His love emancipates us. We are encouraged to let our light shine, to let it so shine before mankind that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. So let our light shine. In our relationship with Christ, we need not live in darkness because Christ has set us free. It was love that brought him, and his love is eternal. It never ends. His love is personal. It's for you and for me. He knows his sheep by name. He is a good shepherd. His love emancipates us. You know, in the flurry of the activity of Christmas, oftentimes we find ourselves weary. We're tired of all of the activity and all of the reminders of the Christmas season. And sometimes we actually slump down at the end of a day and we think, when will Christmas be over? But now we look back even just a week and we realize that Christmas is never over. It was several years ago in the widely read magazine of Psychology Today that they published a poll that they had taken of 40,000 readers. And 83% responded that life's main question was, where can I find happiness? 83% wanted to know, where can I find happiness? Well, I believe that we best find our happiness by walking in the way of Christ and responding to his love. Christmas is always a high spiritual moment. It's a time when feelings are accentuated, when things are long forgotten, and they become stirred up within us once again. And we resolve that things are going to be better and different. And I pray that that will be true. But we need to be reminded that we will go through this time when we feel let down because Christmas is over. We look ahead and think 12 months from now is so far away. The tests of our lives, however, come not in the high moments of inspiration, but in the moments and hours and days and weeks when that inspiration has passed. That's when we need to keep Christmas, when the high road has given way to the common road. And what happens when we find ourselves in the routine of every day? Yes, that's the test of Christmas. That's when our relationship with Christ makes a difference. Joyce Kilmer wrote a poem with this line in it, and I think it's so appropriate for today. Because the way was steep and long, and through a strange and lonely land, God placed upon my lips a song and put a lantern in my hand. Well, friends, that's what Christmas does for us. It puts a lantern in our hand to light the way of life. The lantern is centered in the love of Christ, which is for keeps. It's eternal. It's personal. And it sets us free to be all that he wants us to be. And may it be so for you and for me as we enter a new year full of hope, joy, peace, and love. You remember those those four Advent candles that we have lit through the Advent season, candles that stood for hope, joy, peace, and love. Well, we enter this new year full of hope, joy, peace, and love, because that is what comes with the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it was love that brought us, Jesus. It was God's love that found us and changed us. It is God's love that will sustain us. And so on this morning, in our sanctuary, we will be going to the Lord's table to celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper. It's a wonderful time when we once again renew our faithfulness to Jesus. And so as we go to the Lord's table this morning, let's be grateful for Christmas. And even though it is now over for another year, we can be reminded that the true story of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, never ends. And so, for you and me, we have responsibility. As followers of Jesus, we have responsibility that goes on through the year. And that responsibility is to proclaim the love of Christ. We proclaim it not only in our words, but also in the way we live our lives. So let's be grateful for Christmas, and let's proclaim the love of Christ. To the glory of God. Amen. And now, friends, we're going to hear Ellen and Alan Vest as they sing The Bleak Midwinter, In the Bleak Midwinter, by Christina Rossetti and Gustav Holst. Here is In the Bleak Midwinter.
May have gathered there.
Our thanks to Ellen and Alan. And friends, let us all hope and pray that as we enter into a new year, it's going to be a good year, a good year when hopefully some of us can feel that life is returning to normal, whatever that might look like these days. But let us always remember that whatever comes our way, whatever the new year brings, we are surrounded by the love of Christ. And that gives us hope. It gives us joy. It gives us peace. Because we are surrounded by the love of Christ. Have a wonderful week ahead. And thank you for listening.